Hello and welcome back to the DC UK podcast. This is season six. Can you believe it is season six? And this is the first episode of that season. And as always, I'm your host, James Graham. This is the show that brings you the latest news, views from the capital of American soccer. I'm here to share my passion with you, my passion for DC United, whether it's match analysis, player interviews, fan stories, I've got you covered. So let's sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. What is coming up on today's show? Well, we've got the new segment of Teen Tactics with the one and only Alex Bono. We've got some club news, so that includes some transfers and pre-season stuff as well. And as always, I'll be answering your questions. But first up, a little word from our sponsor.
We are wild.com. If you're like me and want to do whatever it is you can to help the environment, there is one thing, and it will help you smell great too. Wild is the right choice for natural deodorants, as it actually works. I've always struggled with deodorants, but this one has left me feeling fresh, under the pits, and smelling good. The case is a fully sustainable design made out of aluminium. It's a case for life, and the refills are both that biodegradable and recyclable. Also, when you go to order, you can customize it to your needs. Choose your perfect case and scent combinations. My favorite scent being fresh cotton and sea salt. It's also eco-friendly and with all natural ingredients, as well as being vegan and cruelty-free. So what are you waiting for? Go wild today with special discount 40% off your first order for my UK listeners when you use the code DC United Kingdom at checkout. And for my global listeners, save 25%. Go to wearewild.com and use DC United Kingdom at checkout. Enjoy. Now, back to the show.
And now let's go over to our first ever Teen Tactics segment with Alex Bono.
For the first edition of the new Teen Tactics segment, I've got a great little guest with me alongside me, who's going to be just over here on the screen. His name is Alex Bono, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, not to confuse him with the U2 singer.
Yes. or Sonny and Cher for the American listeners. You know, there's a couple different artists in history that share a last name, but no reference to any of them.
Yeah, I actually Googled it. I think it's Alessandro Bono as well.
There is a few.
Yeah.
Don't listen to any of the ones that you would have Googled.
No. No, oh, that's a shame. Do you enjoy music at all?
I do. I love music. I'm sorry, I'm not a U2 fan, and so whenever I see comparisons, like, you know what, I'm not even a fan. So like, you can tell me U2 shit all you want, but at the end of the day, it doesn't make any difference to me.
Yeah, to be fair, I have seen them live, but that was many, many years ago now.
Yeah. In the glory days,
okay. Big rock show, the whole kit and caboodle, but you know, not now. They've lost it a little bit. But anyway, that's kind of a tangent already. But I want to give a little bit of background. Last season, you made 15 appearances in total for the Black and Red. Kept an awesome 9 clean sheets in that time frame, which is really cool to see. I think you've taken your opportunity by storm after Tyler Miller was being out injured. I'm really pleased to see how well you've done stepping up. But yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be a part of it.
Yeah. With it being Teen Tactics and being a brand new segment, I've got to ask, first things first, what's your favorite formation?
I personally love a 3-5-2. I think it's great. I love letting the wingbacks fly. I love getting numbers forward. I like to play it more as a 3 rather than a 5. Just because, you know, if you've got athletic wingbacks, and you've got some athletic center backs that can cover ground, it really allows you to send numbers forward and be dangerous in the attacking area.
Yeah. Let's see, for me, it's all about the 4-4-2.
Oh, of course. Well, you know,
I'm English. It's got to be the 4-4-2.
Of course. What else would it be?
Have you seen it? I don't know whether it made its way over across the pond, but Mike Bassett, England manager? Don't know whether that film made across?
No, I don't think that was part of our prep for our preseason games yet.
Watch it. It's hilarious. Hopefully Sam knows about that film as well. Hopefully. But yeah, like I said, it was your first season with the Black and Red last year. How was it for you coming in? You came in at the same time as Tyler Miller, obviously battling for that number one spot. How did it go for you? How do you think it went?
Yeah, we obviously both came in as free agents last year. new to the team. So it was nice to have a clean slate and be able to compete and try and fight for number one spot. You know, at the end of the day, it came down to a coach's decision, and that's kind of the way it went. And I knew that throughout the season, whether it be injury, form, something, just getting an opportunity based on training well, that I would have an opportunity eventually. And my focus at that point solely was to take advantage of it and make sure I made the most of it and make it as hard as, you know, as it could be for the staff to take me out of the game.
Yeah. And like I said, from the stats, they don't lie. You did really well. Like I said, 9 clean sheets is unheard of in just 15 appearances. So I've got to applaud you for that. But obviously that was last year. This year is completely different again with new head coach and new front office staff as well. Very early days, but how has that been so far?
Yeah, it's been a nice transition. You know, the new faces have come in and they've added an energy. They've added a real driving force to moving the club in the right direction. Obviously, I've only been here for a year, but, you know, it feels like a special place to me. And I really enjoy being at DC United. And it's, you know, obviously one of the most historic clubs in the league. And while celebrating that history and while celebrating the legends that have been part of this organization, we don't want to hang our hat on that, right? Like, we want to make our own history for the club. That's what it's about. And the last few years haven't gone quite as everyone hoped. But the messaging has been very clear from, you know, from the higher ups early on in this preseason that, yes, we'll celebrate it, but we're moving on from that. We need to forge our own modern history of the club. And that's where we're headed.
Compared to Wayne, when he was head coach, any sort of big differences between him and Troy? What sort of the key things that you found different?
Yeah, the style of play is going to be a little bit different. You know, the way that Troy coaches a team is miles different, not in a better or worse way, not to knock anything that's happening now or gone on in the past. But
yeah,
there's an energy to Troy that really sends shockwaves through the group, that really brings the energy and brings the discipline every single day. And I think that's something that this club and this group of guys needed. And it's been refreshing in that sense. It's been really nice to just to have the faces around that you know are 100% committed to bringing this club forward and moving them forward to be a successful club again. And, it's not that didn't happen in the past, but it's a real driving force now. And it's very evident in the day-to-day that that's the goal. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're not here to compete and try and make playoffs. We're here to make a club that competes year in and year out for trophies.
That's, yeah, again, really good to hear things like that. It makes it a lot more exciting from our point of view, from the fan side, to hear things like that. So we've got something to really look forward to when we do go back to Audi Field and have that opening game of the season, which, it's a shame it's a 12:30 kickoff for me again. Why can't we have more mid-afternoon kickoffs?
I've been saying this. I personally enjoy a day game. I really do. And, you know, with the new Apple deal and all the stuff that's going on, it seems like they're kind of setting the schedule. So, you know, trust me, I'm with you. If I had any say in the matter, you know, there'd be more day games for us.
I did see there was a couple of fixtures that are what I would call sensible times. I think it's the Inter Miami.
Yeah.
And I think it's Charlotte off the top of my head.
I'm not sure. I mean, I know that Inter Miami won a 2:00 Eastern game. I mean, that's like
it's a 7 p.m. kickoff for me.
Yeah. And it's D.C. in early in the season, it's not like it's that warm. And so the later you get the night, the colder it gets. Especially those early and late season games. I'd like to see a bit more daytime kickoffs for us.
Yes. Yeah, I remember seeing some of the games in the past early season. One springs to my mind, Atlanta, and it was just stormy.
Oh, yeah.
And the people were cold. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
It's not what you want to be doing.
Oh, it's not clear. It's not clear. You've got to battle through it.
No. Anyway, back to sort of preseason stuff. You're in Saudi Arabia right now. What's that been like? I think this is off the top of my head. It's the first time that we've done a preseason tour abroad.
Yeah, I mean, this is my first preseason outside of North America as a professional. This is my 10th season, so I've had quite a few of them. But for us, it's business as usual. We're at the hotel. The hotel looks like any other hotel that you'd be in. in any other part of the world. You know, the field is really, really well taken care of, really well manicured. So that's nice. You know, obviously in DC, it's been cold. We had, you know, a good chunk of snow this year. So we're on the turf. To get off of that and to get here and get on some grasses has been refreshing. So for us, it is really business as usual. The surroundings are a bit different. It's like no place I've ever been before. Yep. And you are kind of immersed in a different culture that you really have this wide world view of that, you know, you get to experience for yourself now a little bit and see just what's happened over here.
Have you had much opportunity yet to go outside of the hotel and actually take in any of the surroundings yet? Or has it just been focused on the football?
Yeah, not as much yet. Gaffer keeps us pretty busy with meetings and video and obviously trainings and stuff like that as we're all, you know, we got a lot of new pieces and a lot of new faces. So that's obviously the first priority. I do believe we have a day off coming up soon, which will, I think the guys will enjoy very much, and that'll give us a chance to kind of go out and explore a little bit.
Yeah. What is the weather like out there? Because I, to be honest, I've not actually looked at that part of things. But
well, you're a Celsius guy, right?
I am a Celsius guy.
Yeah, like I was in Toronto for 8 years, so like Celsius is all me now. Yes. So I'm, yeah. It's been like, you know, 24, 25 during the days.
Nice.
Nice little light breeze. Would like some more sun. Like I heard, you know, the sun's always out here. We haven't seen that much of it, but we're hoping that it comes out. But yeah, it's been, temperature's been great. Really comfortable conditions.
Oh. Can't argue with that. Much better than what it, well, to be fair, today's been pretty mild for us.
There you go.
We're currently, what, 13 degrees right now.
There you go.
So I'll take it. It's been better than what it has been, which has been like not bad for January. It's very warm for January. I'm not used to that.
That's right.
Yeah, I've got my big thick coat over there. And I'm like, I don't need to wear that.
See, that's like summer, you know, 13 is like nice weather.
I mean, as soon as you get to double digits, that's it. If you get caught out where I'm from in the Northeast, if you get caught wearing a coat,
No,
not at all. Mm-hmm. So you're on preseason. How much are you looking forward to getting back to Audi Field and ready for that opening game?
Can't wait. You know, it's the off season for us was really long this past year.
Yeah.
And so by the time, you know, the nice part about the off season for MLS is that it's during the holidays, and so you really get time to relax and be with family and friends and all that sort of thing. But by the time the holidays are over, you're like, all right, I'm ready to get back into it. Like this is, I've been just working out for too long. I'm ready to get back into training, ready to see some faces again and start building relationships with the guys. And obviously then going into preseason, it's very exciting at first. And then it starts to drag a little bit and you're like, all right, now I'm ready for the first game. You know, like we're just getting to that point where training's great. We're making big strides every single day in improving our group and improving what we're trying to do. And now everyone's just starting to look forward to getting back to DC. And obviously the first game is, you know, it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, it's very exciting to get those fixtures back on. Definitely. I've got to renew my app. MLS season pass in the next couple of days. I think it's due very shortly.
Yeah.
Yes, that's to be fair, I can't get over how good value it is.
Yeah.
It's ridiculously good value.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't argue. Right, we're going to go into some getting to know you a little bit more now. So you mentioned already you've been a professional player for 10 years now. Is this your 10th season itself?
My 10th season, yes.
Coming to 10 seasons. So before DC United and Toronto, talk us through your career. Who were you playing before that?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Syracuse, New York. Small city, about halfway in between New York City and Toronto, about 4-hour drive each way, which I know for you guys is pretty long. So
yeah, it is.
4 hours is long, but for us, that's like, you know, you can do that a day if you, you know, back and forth in a day if you really want to. So I was born and raised in Syracuse. I went to university in Syracuse. And after my third season there, I had an opportunity to leave and enter the draft. Yeah. And I was picked up by Toronto in 2015, and I spent 8 years at the same club there. And then I was a free agent after 2022, and 2023 was my first year with DC United, going into my second now.
So going from one team for so long into another one, how did you find that transition? Was that a bit weird, or
it's a bit different.
Just kind of take to it all right?
It's a bit different. I've been around, you know, in enough locker rooms where guys are in and out and you're meeting new faces year to year. But I never been that new face and that, you know, outside of my first year, and I was a kid, you know? And so, as an adult, like having to make that transition and kind of getting to know everybody, and trying to mend relationships with the guys that have been in the position I was in, where I know most of the guys and we're welcoming someone in. It was definitely different, but we had, you know, we had a great group of guys here that were really welcoming, got on really well with all the guys. And it felt pretty seamless in the end. Like obviously the moving, the off the field stuff can be a pain at times. But at the end of the day, the club and the guys in the locker room, the people surrounding the club, all the backroom staff, they make it really comfortable for new guys coming in. So I'm obviously really grateful for them.
That's good. So moving away from that, if you could play alongside anybody right now, whether it's from the past or present, who would it be?
Past or present, who yeah. would it be? Oh, man. I think I would really like to play with like a John Terry or a Jamie Carragher.
Oh,
I think that would be really fun. Like, I think those guys are warriors. I love like the grind of like a 1-0 win, you know, and those guys are like the kings of just of laying their body in the line, bunkering down anything to keep the shot out. And so I think it'd be really cool to play with one of those two guys.
Yeah, I've already got the clip of John Terry diving headfirst into the ball and just like that. Yeah,
incredible. It
would be interesting to play alongside, I think.
Oh yeah.
Certain leader on the pitch. Really? When I did a bit of, I don't know what I should say this, but I'm going to. I'm doing some research. I thought I'd do some, help me out with things like ChatGPT and the Google Bard stuff, just to see what they would say.
Right.
And they came. Each one came back there saying that you've got some great leadership skills.
Me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I know. Would you say you're a bit of a leader on the pitch?
I haven't explored AI enough to know how true that might be, but I do I do think that a goalkeeper's role is to kind of be that secondary captain on the field. You see everything. You have to be one of the most vocal guys in the field. And so I appreciate that, but I definitely do see myself as a guy who leads on the field and who's always communicating and trying to make sure guys are in the right spots.
Yeah. So then I'm going to go through with a couple of sort of random questions. So you mentioned about music.
Yes.
You like your music.
I do.
If you were on a desert island and you had one album that you could listen to, what album would that be?
Wow. There are so many that come to mind off the top of my head from so many different decades. Do I get like a, you know, can I pick like a greatest hits album? Like an artist greatest hits album?
If it's an album, then it's an album.
It's an album. Yep. No, you know what? I was going to say like a Michael Jackson greatest hits would be like probably one of the ones you could listen to for the longest time. I'm a big Billy Joel guy. So like a Billy Joel greatest hits would be another one where could just go on and on. But I think in the modern sense, I love Justin Timberlake. I think he's extremely talented. So his 2020 album that came out, I think my freshman or sophomore year of college. And I mean, we were playing that on repeat all the time. So I'll go with that one. Justin Timberlake 2020 experience.
Nice. There you go. Not what I would choose, but fair enough.
That's the beauty of music though, right? Like,
yeah, you know, there's so many different varieties and everyone's got their own taste. And to be fair, mine just changes.
Yeah.
Well, like every month.
Like this morning, you know, we got back from training this morning and I had like a Frank Sinatra playlist on.
Oh, nice.
You know, and then yesterday it was like a funk disco playlist. And then sometimes I'll throw in like a little country. And then it's like Michael Jackson, and then you know Justin Timberlake and some modern stuff.
Exactly.
All over the place.
Why not? And then sort of outside of soccer, what do you do? What kind of hobbies do you have?
Yeah, I love to golf.
Handicap?
Like 10 or 12. I'm working on it. We're competent. But we've got some guys on the team that are sticks that can really play. So
yes,
they keep me kind of striving for more. I've got a dog that keeps me busy, just a little guy, but sometimes those are the biggest handful. So yeah, I just got engaged.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Last summer. And so I've had the dog for 8 years, but now that she's been in the picture, that dog is no longer mine anymore. Like that's
He has yours is mine person. Kind of thing.
He has a new favorite person. She gets all of his attention. And so from that perspective, you know, he's special to me, but I know that he's part of our family now.
Yeah. And then do you cook at all?
Yeah, I love to cook.
What's your go-to meal then?
Oh, man. Honestly, in the season, I try and keep it pretty healthy. So it's pretty basic, you know, chicken thighs and a vegetable, maybe some rice or something. So I keep it simple. But on my off days or in the off season, I love to do like different Italian dishes, different variations of pasta, chicken parm. Nice. My specialty, I would say, is I do a really, really good like upscale sandwiches. So like a really complex steak sandwich or a chicken parm sandwich, like those type of things I really enjoy making. I find a lot of fun in them.
That's pretty cool.
Passion project of mine would be to have like a sandwich shop that just does all like fancy, really high-end, well-done sandwiches.
So in those many years into the future, when you're winding down your career, we know what's going to happen.
That's right.
You're going to go and open a sandwich shop.
Yeah. And it's mostly for me so that I can stop in every day and get my sandwich for lunch. That's from my own place.
Yeah. You'll eat yourself out of business.
Oh, yeah.
So no, that's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why we call it a passion project, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't enjoy it, why do it?
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to a bit of soccer then, or football, or whichever we're going to go with. Who's been the biggest influence on your career?
Wow. I would probably say my goalkeeper coach in Toronto. He was with me all 8 years. His name's John Conway. He played in the league for a while. But really like I said, I was 20 when I came into the league. And at the time in the league, that's you're a child, right? Like you're just you're pretty raw at that point in time. So he was able to kind of mold me from that young age, that young goalkeeper age especially, and really teach me the ways of the professional game and teach me the intricacies of being a goalkeeper the best he knew how. And, you know, I would say 10 years later, I wouldn't rather have it any other way. And he was amazing. He's, you know, a very near and dear friend of mine that I still talk to all the time. So just to have had his guidance and him teaching me the way was, you know, it's definitely probably been the most influential in my career.
Nice. Right. I'm going to throw just a few quick fire questions at you. So this or that. And I want your quickest answer.
Okay.
Ronaldo or Messi?
Messi.
Beat the Red Bulls or win an MLS Cup?
Winning MLS Cup.
Soccer or football?
Football.
Shutout or clean sheet?
Shutout.
Oh, saving a penalty to win the World Cup or winning all the domestic trophies in a season?
Saving the penalty to win the World Cup.
Nice. That they were very quick fire questions.
Yeah.
We've got a few minutes left. So I'm going to go through asking you questions about your teammates, if you don't mind.
All right.
So who's got the worst taste in music?
Oh God. It's got to be one of the young guys. Christian Fletcher. Matai Akamboni, one of those guys that puts on that that rap garbage that isn't like the rap used to be, you know, like there's a good era of rap and now we're past it.
Yeah.
And these guys love it. And I can't stand it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean I think I know what you're on about. And I had it mentioned before on the podcast, and it's just like it is always the young kids. I've always got the worst taste in music. Is that because we're a little bit older?
I guess I'm aging myself by saying that. And if you ask them, they'd be like, bums, because he's out there playing like, you know, classic rock in the gym. I'm like, yeah, that hypes people up. And they're like, nobody gets hyped up about that anymore. I'm like, all right, you know what?
Whatever.
Better than your job. Yeah.
Keeping on the worst themes, who's got the worst fashion sense?
Maddie Matthias Klick. I mean, he comes in some of the most look at his Instagram, you know, and he loves it and he thinks it's like the coolest stuff. And he'll just walk into training one day and I'll be like, that's not the one, pal. That's not what we're looking for today. And he's like, you know what you're talking about. And I'm like, you're the only person I know that's ever dressed like this. So I don't know. I know a little bit about something.
It's, I think it's the European flavor of fashion. It's because there was a chap who used to play for the club, Eric Sauger, and very similar.
Yeah.
Should we say? And that had been mentioned that he had the worst fashion sense. So I think I'm seeing a theme.
It's not great. Should we say?
No, it's not great. Not at all. In the locker room, who has the most fun?
I think I got to be up there.
Yeah.
I love the banter of the locker room. I love the, you know, when you're in a downtime in training or getting some water, I love the little banter. And that's what kind of keeps us all alive in the hard days and the most difficult sessions where we're all sitting in the locker room and someone just kind of, you know, rips a joke or starts messing with someone a little bit and kind of gives it a lighthearted mood. But another guy would definitely be Steve Birnbaum. I know, you know, he loves spending time. And really likes to get the guys going and keep us in a good mindset.
Yeah. I don't know. I've had him on the show a few times now, and he's never mentioned about him being kind of the jokey one. There.
You know, he's the captain. He wears the armband. He tries. Yeah. He's a business guy. Like, we'll leave training. He's got a business call. You're like, all right. We know deep down you love to have some fun.
Yeah. And then who is the most serious in the locker room?
Probably Christian Benteke is pretty serious. Yeah. Like he's really down to earth and like a really genuine, nice person. But at the same time, it's like he is business. It's like family, football, then could really care less if there's anything else around him, you know? And that's probably part of the reasons that's made him such a good player with an incredible career.
Yeah.
And we're very fortunate to have him. But he maintains this down to earth, sensible human about him. And I think that's a really nice mix.
Definitely. Well, one last question before I let you go is, what is your favorite thing about the UK?
You know, I've been once.
Yep.
I went for a training stint in Barnsley for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think it's safe to say that that's definitely not my favorite thing about the UK.
Yes, that's absolutely fair to comment that.
So I don't think I'm in the minority when I say that. You know, our director of communications, Sam Legg, he's an English citizen. He was born
in. He is.
And so I think that that's my favorite thing about the UK is you know, giving us Sam Legg. And I'm going to stand by that because Sam is, you know, not because he's sitting behind the wall here.
I was going to say, blink twice if you're okay.
Yeah, I'm alive. Sam he's one of the funniest people I've ever met while maintaining his professionalism. And he's just a really awesome guy to be around. And my experience with DC United wouldn't be the same without him here. So he's my favorite thing about the UK.
Nice.
I like the accents, so I'll throw the accents in there.
Thank you. Well, I'll take that one.
I won't just take a single person. I'll do something about the group.
Yeah, why not? Why not? No, to be fair, Sam is an absolute legend, and I have to thank him for helping me get bringing you guys onto the podcast and getting everything sorted out over here. So I have to give my appreciation to him as well. So, but genuinely, thank you for coming on. It's been an absolute blast having you chat and taking the time out of your busy preseason schedule, but I will leave you to it and get back to your. I'd imagine you've got many meetings and things to crack on with. So
almost dinner time here, so we're getting a little hungry.
Oh well, there we go. Then I can hear your tummy rumbling right now.
Yeah.
Well, go and enjoy yourself. And again, thank you so much for what you've done for the Black and Red so far, and good luck for 2024.
Thanks, James.
Right, we're back. That was flipping awesome. I really enjoyed talking with Alex there. You can tell he's such a down-to-earth guy. He's got a lot of fun. He's got lots of banter. And it was really nice that he took some time out before he went off and had his dinner. And I wonder what they did have. Because they played the Sudan national team earlier on today as of recording. So I'm recording this on Tuesday, 30th of January. But before we go into that, let's go through some news. So let's roll the VT. So it's been a while since we've
had our last show, and there's been, shall we say, a few changes. Some new players, some new staff members. It's been a huge change. We've had a new head coach in Troy Lassane. When I first saw the name, I had to double check on how you pronounce it, and I'm glad somebody else said it before I did. But Troy Lassane has come and joined the club. He's brought in, along with him, some new assistant coaches. So there's been massive changes after Wayne Rooney left us back after the end of the last season and kind of went away with a bit of a, didn't even say goodbye, which I know for you guys out there, that left a bit of a sour taste, and it certainly did with myself. It was, felt like he was doing the same thing he did to us as he did to Derby County as well. So I can understand where they're coming from when he announced that he was coming to join us and how he left the club there. So yeah, not particularly great, shall we say. But yes, we've had a new head coach in Troy Lassane, and we've also had a new general manager in Ali Mackay, who's a Brit. Gotta love, we've still got some British people in and around the club. So, of course, Sam Legg, as Alex mentioned, came over from the British Isles, and now we've got Ali Mackay as well, who's in and around the club as the new GM, who's the youngest active GM at the moment. So that is very, very cool to see, and it'll be interesting to see. Well, we've already seen some of the stuff that's happened already with the new, some of the transfers that have been coming in, but also how that entails for the rest of the season when it comes to the summer transfer window and the like as well. But yeah, like I said, we've had some new assistant coaches coming in as well. And I'm very excited by Ali and what he's done so far. I know a lot of you are thinking, what about Dave Casper? Isn't he still around the club? But weirdly, he's taken an advisory role, and we've not really seen anything to do with him. It's kind of what happened with Ben Olsen when he was relieved of his head coaching duties, but he's still in an advisory role. There was just nothing said about him. There was no media, nothing to do with Ben. So I think that's what we're going to get this time around with Dave, and I'm pretty pleased about that. I think it's going to be good to see the old guard gone. I know we've still got the same owners, and I know a lot of you out there are incredibly frustrated with our ownership and the lack of kind of visibility of them, really, I think is probably the best way I could describe it. The visibility, they don't really attend the games, they don't really interact with the community, with us as fans. We just don't really see or hear from them, and some decisions don't get explained in the best way that they should do. So there's that. Let's talk about some transfers, shall we? So we've had many, many transfers. I'm just looking down at my notes on this one because there's been quite a few. So we've had a number of players who were released at the end of the season. Jose Fajardo, Eric Davis, Eric Hurtado, Donny Pines left the club as well. He's now playing in League One over here in England for Barnsley, and I'm really pleased to see that he's actually over here, and he seems to be enjoying his time if you go and look at his Instagram. Chris Durkin also left as well, so he left in a trade with St. Louis City, and we received Gam, and we also received two players in Stratton Bartlett from them. Gabriel Parani signed on a permanent basis, which was the one transfer I really wanted us to see and complete after. I was impressed with him when he came in on loan. I could see a lot of potential, and he's young. He's done well on the international stage with Brazil's under-23 teams, especially recently in the Olympic qualifying tournament, I think it is. I'd have to double check. But he has been scoring as well, which is what more can you ask for? So we signed him on a permanent deal. Aaron Herrera joined us from Montreal in the trades. That saw us send Gam and Ruan the other way as well. Kind of disappointed that Ruan's gone, but it's a like-for-like trade. So we needed someone, and especially with Andy Nahar also leaving the club. I forgot to mention him earlier. We picked up Double Air from the waiver list. Not really got much thoughts on that one, to be honest. Jacob Morrell signed after being drafted in from the Super Draft. Really pleased to see that. He also scored in the preseason match earlier on today. Garrison Tubbs from Atlanta United. We picked him up quite cheaply as well. That was a bit controversial. If you don't know what happened there, Garrison Tubbs, it seemed that he was liking some tweets about the disappointment around, or was it tweets, or was it might be an Instagram posts, something on social media, I lose count these days, around the disappointment about signing a contract with Atlanta United and not going through the Super Draft and then being instantly traded. I think he was a little bit miffed about that whole process. And that's the downside to MLS and the transfer system and the trades is the fact that the players, when it comes to being traded, have no say on it. The contracts are with the league, not with the club. And yeah, once that trade happens, then yeah, the player has no option but to go along with it, which I don't really agree with. We looked at, see what happened with Julian Gressel and how that happened. That was not particularly great. And there's aspects to it I like, but I think on the whole, if we got rid of the trades, I think the league would be a lot better off and the players would have a lot more power in what they say and do. You'll get the odd occasion where you'll get the player who will hold the club to ransom. But on the flip side, that's got to be a lot better than having players just going wherever they get told to go and having to up sticks, move the family, house, belongings, the whole shebang without having a single say in it. So, yeah. Anyway. And the goalkeeper that we drafted in from the Super Draft as well, Crockford, he's also signed as well. So, yeah, we brought in a number of players. We've obviously got rid of a few players as well. We're also in talks with Finnish international Heltola, I think his name was off the top of my head. Rumour has it he was playing in the game, but we don't know for certain because there was Trilus 1 and Trilus 2. But yeah, we'll see. And that, if according to Goff, is a young DP in a defensive midfield, giving competition to Russell Knaus. Or whether we are looking at a different formation. Very interesting to see. I'm glad that we're signing these young players. We're not going in for the experienced, because we've got that already in the likes of Birnbaum, the likes of Canales, the likes of Click and Benteke. We've got those experience there, and we just need that those experienced players to do what they need to do and mentor the younger players to bring them on and make them superstars. You look at the likes of Ted Kudipietro and Jackson Hopkins, Christian Fletcher, when he went over on loan to Swansea City and he played in the U21s and did incredibly well. Yes, it's U21s, but he still had to score goals and he did it. That's what I would love to see from those experienced heads and help them bring them onto the next level. And speaking of pre-season stuff, we are on a tour in Saudi Arabia. I know that's a touchy subject with a lot of people and everyone is a little bit knocked about it. And going on from the human rights records and how they are spending all this money just to kind of push that to one side and what's known as sports washing. I don't agree with it. I'm not happy that we're in Saudi Arabia. The players don't have a choice, really, in that matter. They just get told where they're going to go. Yes, they could stand up and protest about it. And hopefully they did do some protesting. But at the end of the day, they're not going to go and strike. They're not going to turn around and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, it's a little bit frustrating to see. Let's just get the players, let's get the team back and let's get them, you know, get those games in, get the match fitness up, get back, get home and try and just move on from it and no, that's not going to sit well with some people. Fair enough. That's fine. I respect that. But for me, just get it out of the way. Let's just get over and done with. And let's hope that the next time we do a pre-season tour abroad, it's not in a country where there's a lot of controversy. But also, going on from that pre-season tour, we had our first game today. As I mentioned before, said this has been recorded on Tuesday, 30th of January. And we played the Sudan national team. We had a number of trialists in that game, trialist one and trialist two. Don't know who they were, but, you know, we can only go by what's been said out there. And when you look at Goff, who's been tweeting about it, he mentioned, I think he replied to someone about who the trialists were. And I'm just trying to bring that up. And so Brandon Parrish is one of those from the looks of it. And there's a couple of others as well. So, and it's been a number of players in that. And we won 6-0, which is great. I absolutely love the fact that we won 6-0. Good start. Goal scorers being Aaron Herrera, Christian Fletcher, Jacob Morel. Trialist 2 scored a goal. Great to see Trialist 2 getting his name on the score sheet. And Christian Dahomey with a brace. It's a Dahomey double. 3-0 at the break, 3 goals in either half. Yeah. It's a shame we couldn't watch it or stream it or get anything from it. But what we got was a grand total of 3 photos. So not really a huge amount. We were playing in our Cherry Blossom jersey, which, when you look at the photos, there's no sponsor. That sponsor isn't there anymore. XDC. Whether that means we're going to get a new sponsor for this season, what's going to happen there? This happens when we went from Lidos to XDC. There was a couple of games where there was just no sponsor at all. Hopefully, it'll be someone nice and someone decent. I'd rather have nothing at all than having another XDC. But yeah, we'll see what happens. It was just a lot of furniture place that we announced a partnership with. That was just weird. That logo just will not sit right on any football shirt whatsoever. Speaking of football shirts, we also had the leaks of all the MLS jerseys thanks to EAFC. Well, FIFA, as you know, us old heads will know it by. And ours is kind of a geometric pattern. I'm kind of keen on it. I like it. I think it looks good. It'll be interesting to see what it's like in person. I know with the home show, which you'll see just above my right shoulder with the DC UK 19 on it, if you're watching on YouTube, when you saw that on FIFA 23, I think that was leaked on, it showed that it had some stripes. And when you see it in person, they're barely visible. So, yeah, we got that. But the leak on this one shows like a geometric pattern. If it's subtle, it could, well, to be honest, if it's either way, if it's subtle or if it's obvious, I think it looks nice. And I'm really liking all the jerseys that have been leaked so far. If you want to see my opinions on that, please let me know, drop me a comment. I'd be happy to do that if that's something that you guys want to see. And then I kind of got a finish off this little news segment with, obviously, you will have seen and you'll have heard, and if you listen to the podcast, you'll have seen the artwork update, and you'll have seen, if you're watching this on YouTube, you've probably seen the announcement video. But obviously there is a new logo, there is new merchandise. Please do go and get yourself some. There's new jerseys, there's a Cherry Blossom one, there's the blue one, which I'm just going to quickly grab, bear with me, I'm back. So we got the blue one, which I'm just going to, if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see it on screen. And it's got a nice, nice little eagle on the front of it as well. Plain on the back, eagle feathers on the sleeves. That's on the eagle feathers on the sleeves is on both the Cherry Blossom and the blue one. And there's also a grey and Cherry Blossom one, which doesn't have the eagle feathers on the sleeves, thanks to a request after I got some feedback over on the DCU Discord server. So each one is great. There's a flag as well. There's cups, there's mugs, stickers, you name it. Go over dcunitedkingdom.com/DCUK store. Pick yourself something up. It'll help me with the show, making this as great as it can be, and keep affording to do the website and affording to do what I'm doing here. It all goes back into the show, and what I do with this DCUK community, because I love you guys. I love talking with you. I love the community. I love speaking with everyone. And I said in the intro, I love sharing my passion about the club with you, everyone. So yeah, please do hit the link up. It should be in the description below if I remember to put it in there. Make a mental note of that one. But yes, that's the end of the news. So we'll shortly move on to fan questions. So you'll have seen that if you follow me on social media, if not, how did you get here? And if you did without following me on social media, thank you. I appreciate it. And to all the new listeners and new viewers, thank you for watching and thank you for listening. Please do subscribe. I regularly ask for questions, get your thoughts, your opinions about the previous week or whatever has been happening since the last episode. And especially when it comes to matches and things, I love to hear what you guys think in the moments after the final whistle. And I love sharing those thoughts and opinions as well. So I asked for the first episode of the season, and the first question was from JasonCo_DCU. He's a Brit and follows the club like myself. And he mentioned that he's not been on Twitter for about a year and a half. I'm still going to call it Twitter. I will never call it X, because that's just a silly name. And when I look at the address bar on my browser, it says twitter.com. So that's what it's going to be. So yeah, @JasonCo_DCU. Do you think DC United have done enough this offseason to have a better season than last? I personally feel that these signings have been a bit underwhelming and hope to be proven wrong. I think you will be proven wrong, if I'm honest. I like what we've done so far this offseason. Some things we've been forced into, like getting a new head coach, and some things that we didn't have to do, like bringing some young players in. I like the signings that we've done so far. I like the head coach we've brought in, and I like the GM that we've got. I think we should expect to do better than last season. That should always be the expectation. We should expect to be in the playoffs when you get 2/3 of the league in the playoffs. Not making it is a huge disappointment, and that's what we've had. And I think we're all sick and tired of having huge disappointments, but we're also used to it as well. So, you know, I think we'll be fine. I think it will be better than last season. And if it's not, you can blame me. That's fine. I will go on record and you can say, this is James's fault. So there you go. Next up is RJ Rawson, who I haven't also mentioned. That's another bit of news. Richard is now writing for DC UK, and he's going to be bringing, you might have seen some of his articles already. If not, he's bringing some opinions. He's bringing in the match previews and his match reviews as well to the DC UK website. I loved what he's done, that he had been doing with the MLS Now podcast website, and I'm very excited to see what he's going to bring to DC UK and moving forward. And also Daniel, who was doing some photography towards the end of last season for us, he's going to be continuing that throughout 2024, and that is also really cool to see. So we're going to be getting some exclusive photos that I will be able to share throughout the year, and you'll be able to see DCU from a different angle. So that's always cool. But Richard asked, the season is obviously going to be a transitional year. New front office, new coach, massive turnover of the roster. So outside of winning games, what is something that you're looking for from DC this season? I think outside of winning games, and on the pitch. What I would love to see off the pitch is regaining that connection with the community. I think that's something over the last few years that's kind of fizzled out. And I think when you look at the performances on the pitch, that hasn't helped the situation in any way, shape or form. So I think as long as we get back to winning those games, and I think as long as that gets in place, we need to get that connection back to the community. I know we've had disappointments in media credentials for RFK refugees. They didn't get the credentials for the season. Well, photographer didn't get it for the full season either, so we're going through single match applications. That was disappointing. I'm not overly angry. I'm not going to get myself worked up about it because there's not much I can do about it. What's done is done. I know Africa just went a little bit public about it. Not for me, that's probably the wrong thing to do. We are small. We are just a local. I mean, I'm not local. I'm obviously international, but you know what I mean. We are small fry compared to the likes of the Washington Post and all, and the Athletic and all that jazz. And they are going to get the priority over us. But to be able to, I think it would have been a nice gesture just to have something there and not just the canned response back to both myself and RFK refugees as well. So, but that's it on that one. But I think for me, outside of winning games, I think connection back to the community, regular meets with the fans, I think will go down a huge, huge treat. And when they said they were going to do a podcast, I actually follow through on that. Because there was talks of a podcast being launched last year. Nothing happened. Yes, things weren't great on the pitch, but you don't do it just for when it's on, when you, things are going well on the pitch. You go through thick and thin. That's what you got to do. But thank you for the question, Richard. Next one is It's In The Net DC over on Instagram. It's In The Net DC is a new podcast. Obviously, you know what the name means if you're a DC United fan. If you're a brand new DC United fan, then you need to watch the old stuff with Dave Johnson. What a legend. But that's where the name comes from. I'm really happy to see another person sharing their passion, sharing their love for the club in this format. They've asked, what signing would you like to see before our first game? And I would like to see, I do want to see another striker, just because you can get some flair up there. I know we've got Pirani, who's a great attacking mid, who could slot in and do a job. But I think if we lose Benteke for whatever period of time, I'm still struggling to think who would be good to fill in his shoes. So for me, if I had to choose one particular position to fill, it would be competition for Benteke, proper competition for Benteke. Morel might do the job. I'd be over the moon if he does. But yeah, for me, that's the one place I would like to see. And I got a couple of questions from the DC United Discord server. And first up, Kimmy. What is your stance on the state of the team going into the season and how do you think we'll do against other teams? So, first bit, what's my stance on the state of the team? I like where we're going. I quite like it. I think we're moving in the right direction. We're bringing in a lot of youth. I think we're, rather than traditionally going in for the big name, but coming towards the tail end of the career, I like the youth. I like the lesser known players and how we could potentially develop them. And if we're going to go down the route of selling them on for a profit, I like that. I like the fact that we've got a fairly young head coach. I like the fact that we've got the youngest active GM. It's On the face of it, on paper, it's building for longevity. So for me, that is fantastic. I like that. And I think that's a really good place to be in. How do I think we'll do against other teams? I think we might surprise a few. I think over the last 5-6 years and potentially longer, we've become known as it's DC United. They're living off the history. When we look back at what Alex Bono was saying about how they're wanting to forge the modern history now, I think we might surprise a few. I think not many clubs will be expecting a lot from us. I think there will be a few that will underestimate us and not expect what the way we're going to play. So I think we might do... I think we'll do okay. I don't think we'll win the Eastern Conference. Not a long shot. That would be amazing. That would be incredible. But I think we've got the opportunity to actually be a top 6 team in the Eastern Conference. I think that's where we're going to go. So yeah, I hope that answers your question. Aaron also asked, opinion on the League's Cup going into its second season. When it was last season and it was announced and the way it was going to happen, I was like, okay, this could be good. I like it. I like the idea behind it. But now I'm like, it was a massive, massive interruption to the league. And I don't like that. I don't like it. I think the fact that it's just exclusively MLS and Liga MX, yeah, it's all it is a tournament for money. And that's it. And that's the worst part of it. And when you look at the state of what's happened with the US Open Cup and the fact that MLS teams are not participating because of fixture congestion. It's fixture congestion that league has made itself. There's no other person to blame other than MLS. That really, really, and I'm going to absolutely excuse my language for this one, pisses me off. It's very rare that I actually swear on that show. I think I might have done it once in the whole 5 seasons that I've been doing it. Yeah, it really, really angered me because the US Open Cup has been going on for a long, long time, longer than MLS has been going for, and there's a lot of history, and that cup brings a lot of joy, and it's like it is the FA Cup for American soccer, and you would not get the Premier League going, we've got enough fixtures, we're going to put our U21 teams in this competition. They do that already with the FA or Papa John's or Johnston's Paint or Vanarama, whatever they're calling it this year, in that trophy where it's U21s and then you've got League 1 and League 2 teams in that. I think that's a pointless trophy in and of itself because that's just adding even more fixture congestion when you've got 24 teams in each league and you've got many more games than what you've got in the Premier League. And they've got the FA Cup and they've got the League Cup on top of that trophy. That's just way too much. Yeah, you wouldn't see that happen over here in the UK. You wouldn't really see that happen anywhere else in the world. So why do MLS think they can get away with having the League Cup and then going, yeah, we're not going to play in the US Open Cup because you don't bring enough money? I think that is a horrendous thing, and the league should be ashamed of itself for bringing this League's Cup tournament and trying to make it this money-spinning thing and advertising it as a way to test ourselves against the best teams in North America. Yeah, it really, really angers me. Sorry, I went slightly on a rant there. And then, yeah, so Leagues Cup can go and do one. So there you go. And there was one other question I just need to bring up back on Twitter. Goes by El Loco on Twitter, and he's part of the DC UK community. He's just asked a very simple question, and this is what we're going to wrap it up with, is playoffs this season? Yes. That's what we're going to go with. Playoffs. Yes. We've got optimism. Quiet, confident optimism. And there you go. That's how we're going to end this week's first episode of the season. I hope you enjoyed it. It's been great to get back into it. I know it's been a long time since we've done an episode, but we've got new season, new logo, new head coach, new GM, new players, new segment and team tactics. I hope you enjoyed that as well. Please subscribe if you haven't subscribed already to the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, please like it and please leave a comment. Let me know your thoughts on it. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a little 5-star review if you feel like it's worth your 5 stars. If not, give me some constructive feedback. I'm open to it. The more you do it, the better, the more this show gets out into the world and we bring more fans into DC United. And that's what this show has always been about. It's bringing more fans to the club and spreading the word of this great, great club. So let's leave it on that. Thank you again for watching. And I appreciate everyone who tunes in. Until next time, Farmers United.